one thing needful, near as yours, is to be one with thee. In my own order.
In the Epistle to the Galatians, the 2nd chapter and the 20th verse. The Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Surely, this is one of the most glorious statements that a Christian can make in this life concerning his union and relationship unto God. And I wonder if we are indeed exercised within our own souls as to whether we can indeed give vent unto such a testimony as this. For if we can, we can be sure of this, that we shall indeed spend a never-ending eternity in the glory with him. Why, the very fact of the language of the text implies that blessed assurance that wherein he has given unto him a reality, yea, that he may know the secret which God is pleased to reveal unto his own. One's mind is oft times directed unto that scripture in the Psalms, wherein it is declared, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. A secret which is made known unto the individual. A secret which is hidden unto all others save the one to whom it is communicated. What a mercy if we know anything of it, that we possess within our own soul that which has been directly communicated unto us by God. How careful Paul was so to clear, as it were, the things that he would speak concerning Christ when he said that his testimony, his preaching, was not that which he had received of man. He had not been taught it, but that it had been through the revelation of God unto his soul. I fear that much of the religion today is simply a matter of an intellectual, what we might call, faith. We give an assent in our mind unto those things which are contained in God's word, while we may be destitute of the power of them and their inworking and their outworking within our lives before God. Oh, let us beware that wherein our profession doth so consist, that it doth not lie in anything that relates unto the intellect, or the natural understanding, or the powers of the mind so to apprehend certain things in the word, but it is that which is directly communicated unto our souls by the Spirit of the living God, who alone is the Spirit of Christ, can indeed quicken us into life and so work within us that which is in accordance with the will and the purpose of God in his grace concerning us. Oh, I felt as though when I got home this morning I could very well suck into my very soul the wonder of that which so astonished Paul that he had to trace everything back unto the will of God concerning him. that he would never have known anything. He would never have known that which is relative to the glory of the gospel, save as God in his infinite and eternal will has so purposed that in Christ Jesus he should have that position and that place, wherein in him to all eternity he should stand accepted and perfect in the Beloved. Let me say a word here of encouragement. If God has indeed begun his work within your soul, if he's taken away from you all your fleshly and your natural religion, and has brought you unto himself as a poor sinner, so to seek in him and to receive from him out of his fullness that which alone satisfies your soul, remember that that wherein he has given that glimmer of light in your soul, that wherein in his light you see light, it is but that which is going to shine more and more unto the perfect day. Yes, that light can never be extinguished. It can never be put out. If he has commenced the work in your soul, he will be the power, he will be the strength, he will be the sufficiency of his own work in you. And he'll carry it through to the glory of his great name, and to that wherein you shall indeed stand before the throne and sing of his worthiness as the Lamb of God who was slain for you. Yes, you will come, you will realize, in measure down here, as you may contemplate the glories that await them who are the subjects of his work, you will declare, I am crucified with Christ. Pondering over these words, it came to me, have we not here the clue unto Paul's ministry to the various churches? He didn't enter into controversy. He didn't dispute about things. He was a man of one message. And a man of one message because that message so indwrought his soul that it brought every fiber of his being into action to preach. And to preach what? I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach, he says, Christ crucified. He saw the very essence and the substance of all godliness so to lie in that wherein there was the identification of himself in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And not only so, but even as he so oft times mentioned that which was relative unto the cross, and he spake of how that it was so utter nonsense and foolishness unto them to whom this truth had not been revealed, how that he was a debtor unto that glorious grace, whereby, and by it alone, he had been brought into it. Oh, if there was one thing he would exhort, in the cross of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it was the grace of God. When we come to the Ephesians and we begin to read down the chapters, we find it coming out. You'll find it in the Corinthians, you'll find it in the Philippians. Yes, it's always there. What is he declaring unto us? That if his glory is going to be in anything, it is in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? Why, Paul? Because by grace ye are saved. Yes, salvation in all its positiveness, its certainty. By grace ye are saved. Through faith. And that faith is not your own. It is that instrument that God uses unto the bringing home unto your heart the glory of that grace. By grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Well, can you enter into these things? You may be listening to me, but does the word of God enter into your heart? And does it bring to light unto you that wherein the glory of Christ doth so consist in these things? That he should so take you in accordance with the will and the purpose of his Father, and that he should so undertake for you that you might indeed in all things be found perfectly blameless, holy, and without spot in the sight of his holy and righteous Father. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He's talking of a personal crucifixion. He is not speaking in general terms. We often, to our folly, enter into the generality of language, where there is nothing personal in it. We're so fond of using the word we instead of the word I. Is it because you dare not use the I? You may speak of that which collectively doth belong unto the whole church of the redeemed, but as for yourself, can you dare to use the word I? Can you, as you're sitting in the pew this afternoon, enter into the personal nature of that wherein Paul is emphasizing his union with Christ, and say, I? In other words, he's completely, as it were, taken away from every other source, from every other person. There is only one that is presented unto the eye of faith, and that is his Lord and his Savior, his Redeemer, the one who loved him and gave himself for him. You know, that's rather a good test as to whether you can use the word I. Shall we apply it unto ourselves? I said it is a test. Do I really love him? Do I know what it is for my heart to burn with love toward him? Do I know what it is for my soul so to be on the stretch that it breaks through everything in that wherein you would have nearness unto himself, because he is the altogether lovely one? He is precious unto your soul. Test yourself by it. Is not enough to say these things? Have we that within our own souls, wherein we have the witness of our interest in these things, in that wherein our love embraces him, in the love wherewith he hath loved us, who loved me, and gave himself for me. Surely the hymn writer, two lines of one of his hymns should indeed find its echo within our hearts. Yes, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. There is no withholding when we are crucified with Christ. Everything's got to go. There is only one thing that matters, and that is my identity of union with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. It is essentially personal. But what more, it is a reality. I am crucified with Christ. It was very real unto him. It wasn't, as I have just mentioned, it wasn't something that he had learned from man. It wasn't simply something that might be learned, for doubtless he had the whole of the Old Testament before God ever called him by his grace. It isn't simply in that wherein I may apprehend in a measure all that is spoken in the Word of God. The reality is, when God by his divine word lightens your soul in the understanding and the knowledge of himself, then everything becomes a reality. You at once see the foolishness, the emptiness of everything else in comparison with a saving knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe there are many that are exercised about that fact. They ask themselves, have I a saving knowledge? Have I a saving faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, my dear hearer, it isn't in that wherein you have a grip of him in these things. It is that wherein he has a grip of you in these things. And he grips you in that wherein he so opens up unto you the reality of those things which are set before you in the gospel. Let me put it in this light. The gospel is made unto you meat and drink, because it is good tidings unto your soul. Yes, he has gripped you, and in consequence, there is a setting forth of your grasp at him. Yes, you would attain unto those things wherein you are instructed and led by him. Saving faith. A reality, crucified with Jesus. There he hangs upon the cross. And Paul looks upon him. And Paul sees him in all his suffering. He hears him in that wherein the fiery dereliction goeth forth from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He looks upon those wounds. He looks upon that pierced side. He sees all that has been endured in the cross. And as he looks, he says, and there am I. I am in Christ. I am there. And all that he is enduring, all that he is suffering, it is for me. Did I hear that cry of dereliction? Then I can never be forsaken of God. Oh, if he was forsaken in that wherein he bore my sin and my guilt upon that tree, and put it away in that blessed body on the tree, then God can never forsake me as I am found in him. Yes, he sees all that the dear Son of God, that blessed person, did for him on the cross. His eye is fixed upon him. And as he gazes, he says, that's where I am. I am crucified with Christ. It is not for himself that he doeth these things, but for me. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. And not only doth he therefore speak of the reality of these things, he speaketh of that wherein he hath a fellowship with his Lord in these things. He had a fellowship with his sufferings. As you have gazed upon the one whom you have pierced, have you mourned for him? As you have gazed upon him, have you not known what it is, the sorrow to fill your heart? You know, the disciples were warned that they were going to have sorrow. And you'll never know the joy of it without the sorrow preceding it. He told them that that joy which they should have should follow on that which related to the sorrow that they were to experience. Do you sorrow over your sin? Do you mourn over it? Does it bring you so to look to him and to look upon him as the one whom you have pierced? That it is your sin that put that nail through his hands and through his feet. That it is your sin that has pierced his side with that sword. You see the dreadfulness of it, because this is the sinless one, the holy one. Oh, here is that which is so inconceivable unto you, that he in the greatness of his love should so suffer, should so be humiliated, should so be brought down for your sake, and that you are the guilty person who hath been the means whereby you have crucified him. You see it all there. And you have a fellowship with him in his sufferings. It is with a broken heart and a contrite spirit that you have to go to him. And you say, I am crucified with Christ. We'll see this in a moment in various particulars. Let me name one or two of them. When he gazed upon his Lord, he said, I'm crucified, I'm dead. I've been killed. Killed Paul? What do you mean? He said, because I'm dead unto sin. Ah, sin shall no longer have the dominion over me. For I am not under the law, but under grace. And here is the supreme sacrifice for my sin. He's taken it away. Shall I then allow that which is relative unto my sin so to reign in my mortal body? God forbid. By that wherein I see that I am crucified with him, I say, death unto my sin. Oh, that I should not obey it in the lusts and the affections of the flesh. Yes, not only sin, but that whereby the knowledge of sin has come. I am dead to the law. Some people seem to speak in these days as though that law has been done away with. My friend, that law is going to be the judge of that which is relative to the right and the wrong in the day of judgment. For that law is the facsimile of God himself, in which he is revealing his own holy and perfect nature. And yet, says Paul, there was a time when I, what a fool I was, I tried to fulfill that law, and I never knew the spirituality of that law until he met with me on that road to Damascus. Then I saw it, the folly, yea, that wherein I was but as a madman, seeking to fulfill that which in itself was spiritual. You read Matthew 5, you have the exposition there of the spirituality of the law by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is good, it is holy, it is just. But when I am confronted by it, it is only one voice, death, death, condemnation. But oh, when I look unto him and I see him suffering on the cross, I behold that wherein he has in his perfect life, in that wherein he has consistently done the will of his Father and rendered unto the holiness of God that which is perfect and complete relative unto the perfection of the law. Yes, he says, when I look there, I am dead to the law. Are you, Paul? Yes. Because I find that law fulfilled and set forth in all its glory in that very person who in his righteousness and his holiness went to that tree at Calvary and suffered for my sake. Or, he says, this kills me too to the world when I'm crucified with Christ. God forbid, he said, that I should glory, save in the cross of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The severance has come. That which is relative to the world, with all its ambitions, its aspirations, and so forth, no longer holds the horizon of your life. You have something far greater, far more glorious, than that which is appertaining unto all the pomp of this world. And you indeed behold its vanity, and its emptiness. And why? Because you have tasted of that love. You have tasted of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you can let the world go now. You haven't any taste for it. You don't want it. You can say, let the world go by. Yes, you're in the world. And you know what it is, still being the flesh, what it is to walk up and down amongst men. But, my dear hearer, the influences of the world no more beset you as once they did. How easily at one time you were overcome by their besetments. How you would have gone headlong into all those pursuits pleasures that men call such, but all one sight of your suffering Redeemer put death to the world so far as you were concerned. You saw that the world lieth in the wicked one, and you could find no more any rest or any comfort in those things in which what in which you once have found your enjoyment. Now you're crucified unto the world. Why? Because you are crucified with Christ. But you know, it brings us to this. You are dead to self, and you are dead to all confidence in the flesh. Read Philippians 3. Hear him there speaking of the past. Hear him, as it were, so setting forth that wherein, if any man had any right to speak of any honorable position, he had it. A Pharisee of the Pharisee, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Oh yes, he can go right through the catalogue. He can say, where is there another man in effect that is so highly honored as me in these things? See how I observe them. See how I do indeed treasure them. Yea, see how I hug them, even to my very breast. But, the time came when Jesus revealed himself to him, and all his confidence in his own works, and his own righteousness, and all his religious habits, they've all got to go. If he's going to find his religion, he's going to find it in Christ crucified. If he's going to find the substance and the essence of this godliness, it is in Christ crucified for him. Now, he says, I am crucified with Christ. You want to test your own case? Are you crucified with Christ? What did crucifixion mean? It meant endurance. Yes, who for the prize, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Do you know what it is to have men deride you? Do you know what it is for them to hold you, as it were, in scorn because of your profession? Do you know what it is to be persecuted for the names of Christ? Do you know what it is for people to turn their back upon you because of that wherein they know and feel that you are indeed different to them, you're speaking a foreign language to them, and so on? There is the separation. There is the cutting off. But isn't it painful to the flesh? Oh, the sores that you oft times have to endure by reason of the treatment of others. If you're crucified with Christ, you're going to have no exemption from it. You're going to be scorned, and you're going to be despised, and you're going to be ridiculed. Yes, you've got to expect it. But there is one glorious sanctifying realization that will indeed fill your soul amidst it all as ye have to endure these things. It is that love, the love of him who gave himself for you. Ah, we cannot speak of the sufferings that he had to endure. But what a blessing if you can come to the very end of this same epistle and then join in with Paul when he said, from henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear about in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Yes, I am crucified with Christ. And so we see, here is Christ crucified for Paul. Did I say it was a personal matter? Did I say it was a reality? Oh, sinner, if thou art left destitute of this truth, thou shalt never see him. Thou shalt never come to him. It is only as by that precious faith you are brought to know that interest that you have in that perfect work of redemption on Calvary's tree. That atonement whereby alone you could be made at one with God. Yes, Paul says, what is the effect? I am crucified for life. In other words, no longer would he live unto himself, but unto God, who had redeemed him, atoned him, atoned for him, and purchased him with his own blood. Oh, yes, Paul, we're beginning to understand some of your utterances. Did ye not thus speak and declare, ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. And then Paul would declare, yes, that sight that I had of him, by the faith of him, Paul has left everything for him. There is nothing now that can keep him from Christ, or the past that's gone. He's left it all. He's forsaken it all. He's nailed it all unto his cross. Ah, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Well, we haven't got far with our text, have we? Maybe if the Lord still keeps it upon my mind, I may be enabled to take it up further on the coming Sabbath. But I hope you're not bored by it. I hope you're not, as it were, going away. Oh, yes, I've heard that text, as it were, time and time again. But I hope that you're going away with the realization of your own crucifixion with Christ. Because it is in that union, in that wherein you have your interest in him, with Paul, you will find your life in him. Yes, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I will close with those words, for I feel that I can use them as my own. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Amen.
those fastening together in 1,075. 1,075. Thou being the love of God, whose height, whose depth, unfathomed, no man knows, I take them far thy beauteous light, and in this height that I repose, my heart is faint, nor can it yet rest, till I find rest.
may the grace, the love, and the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us each, now and evermore. Amen.